Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
You right?
Fucking hell, mate. That took ages.
Sorry, yeah, I got my phone charged as well.
Bloody hell. You're right?
Yeah, I've just got to go to last leg in a fucking bit as well. And I'm packed because I've got to go to Aberystwyth from the last leg. Let's save it. Should we just... I think we should just start the show with the... I think we should just have started it with the recording. We don't need to do the normal intro. This is it. This is the show now.
I was going to say, because we've not done loads of... We have been talking about parenting and stuff, but we've been talking about work quite a lot. Because as a comedian, I'd say September through to November time is the busiest period of the year.
Yeah, like Santa's elves, mate. Genuinely. I'm just fucking... All I do is work in autumn. But it's...
Right, do we want to do the little intro or not?
We'll come back to it when I've vented.
Okay. Josh, how's your week been?
It's all right, Rob. It's been all right.
What's happened? How's babies? How's children?
You'll know that I had 11 minutes to myself on Wednesday.
Yeah, I got a very excited text message from you, Josh, on Wednesday. Yeah. And I thought, wow, this is the turning point. And Josh is going to... Josh is just going to be, like, full of beans for the rest of...
Get his life back.
Yeah, you text me on Wednesday, a very excited message. You won't believe this. This is 2:57. You won't believe this. Daughter at nursery, baby asleep, no work in the diary. I think this is the first free time in 6 months where you had nothing to do.
Nothing to do. And you were right. You replied, you feel rudderless. You suddenly don't know what you do.
What is it?
What do I do? I don't know what it is that... What do I do when I want to enjoy myself?
And as we were having this discussion, you text me 11 minutes later, he's woken up anyway.
Yeah, it's a fucking write-off, mate.
So you had 11 minutes to yourself?
11 minutes.
What did you do?
I watched 11 minutes of a documentary about the...
You love documentaries.
I love it. It's all I've got.
That's who you are. The documentary guy.
Yeah. About drugs and sprinting in the late 80s.
Drugs and sprinting. So like what? Performance enhancing or party drugs?
Ben Johnson at the Seoul Olympics getting banned. Carl Lewis.
Yep.
I watched 11 minutes of that documentary.
How was it? Was that all right?
Carl Lewis is a piece of work. I'll tell you that for free. He's got that mentality, a bit like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, that kind of the sociopath athlete mentality.
Yeah, sociopath alpha.
Yeah, sociopath alpha.
Okay, fair enough.
Like Ramesh. Anyway, shall we start the episode?
Ramesh is the least alpha person I've ever met. He's so chilled. Imagine if he was a drug cheat. Imagine if he was just...
Is this how he's so good? How he does 16 TV shows because he's Andre's boosting.
We need to start testing him. There's no way he can keep that workload up and not lose his head. We're falling apart. We work at a quarter of his work rate.
I'm going to text him and say, you do realise there's random testing on the weakest link, and he'll absolutely panic. So,
yeah,
I've got no parenting to report, Rob. Actually, I've got little bits. I've got little bits.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you've been working a lot then to get tour. How are your tour show? You've been touring and you...
Yeah, it's fine, isn't it? It's...
Are they really pissed? I found my crowd really pissed.
No, they're fine. Yeah, but Rob, you've got a different crowd since you went to the Euros, mate.
Yeah, I know. It has shifted. Fucking on Bez now.
How many bucket hats? What percentage of your audience are in bucket hats these days?
There was quite a lot at the start when it was summertime now, but yeah. The moment has gone now for the bucket hat. You still get the odd one, which is always well received, but when I was gigging straight after the Euros, it was bucket hat central, mate.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Non-stop.
I was going to say, it was such a boring thing to say. Now...
Now, come on, it's not stopped us before.
I was going to say it was like Spike Island, which, and then I thought Rob's not going to be.
I know, the Stone Roses gig.
I thought you'd call me a stiff neck for that kind of reference, Rob.
No, that's not a stiff neck reference. That's a popular culture reference. That's quite cool for you, isn't it, Spike Island?
I mean, that is genuinely the most offensive thing you've ever said.
What?
The phrase, it's quite cool, ... for you. It's an absolute hammer blow.
Josh, you're watching documentaries about 80s drug cheats.
That's cool, Rob.
Is it? Look, you think it's cool because it's 80s, but it's the equivalent when we were growing up of people watching documentaries of like the 1930s Olympics. Anyway, so what's your parenting sitch? What's that there?
Death's a big thing, Rob.
Death?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're all finding out about death at nursery.
Oh, they're finding out about... Oh, my God. What they find...
Well, there's lots of discussion of what death is.
Not first hand. There's not been a terrible accident, has there?
There's not. No, no. It's okay. All been fine. All yeah. Right. But one of the girls' mums texted me and said, have you discussed death with your daughter yet?
Oh, God.
And I said, no, I've not really discussed it, but it's big news with another of the girls at nursery because I've spoken to her dad.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
She said, yeah, we've had a lot of questions in the past few weeks. Today she asked me if we come alive again after we die. Because apparently, according to this text, apparently my daughter, as in me, my daughter, Josh's daughter, clarified to her daughter that you go to the North Pole with Father Christmas, lie in the snow, melt, and then come back to life.
I don't think I'd want to do that. That would be really horrible and cold. Yeah, it does. I'd go somewhere hot.
To be honest, Rob, at the moment, death does sound quite appealing to me. But that's...
It'd just be nice to have a lie down for a bit, wouldn't it, Josh?
Just a bit of me time. Do you know what I mean?
You've had 11 minutes this week. So are you still getting up at like 5:30 with the baby and then cracking on with your day?
No, we've had a breakthrough. We've had a breakthrough, Rob.
Oh, talk to me about the breakthrough.
We've had a bloody breakthrough. So when I was away doing a gig or something, it must have been a gig. I can't even remember why it was. It was like a week ago. I don't even remember. Like my agent texted me and said, this is what my mind's like at the moment. She was like, oh, that interview you did with the... Times or the Telegraph or something, like, you know, one of those Q&A things that they do.
Yeah.
She was like, oh yeah, she was like, oh, I really enjoyed that, it was good. And I was like, I have no memory of doing this. I literally don't believe that I've done this. I don't remember saying any of these things.
When did you talk to them?
I don't know, but I think it must have been about 2 weeks ago.
I found it really hard balancing driving and travelling all around the country to these gigs and still getting up in the morning with the kids and all that. I'm finding it really tiring. And also, an extra level of pressure is when you've got to drive to Sheffield, like I've got to do tonight, getting fucking petrol.
Oh, mate.
It's just an extra level of stress. Yeah. You could just either miss the show or not get home.
Oh, Rob, what are you going to do?
Get a train.
Yeah, get a train. I was going to say.
That's what I've done. We've got to get the train. I'm going to get the train to get there, and then we're driving. The tour manager's meeting me up there, and then we're driving to Halifax.
You hope he bloody is.
Well, I hope so, anyway. If not, though, I can get to Halifax on my own from another train, but...
Just do the whole thing on the train.
I just didn't want to risk missing the first one. Anyway, sorry, you were saying... So you've had a breakthrough. What's your breakthrough?
So he's still waking up at 5 a.m. on the dot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really struggling to see the break. I feel like, you know, when you have an appraisal with your boss and oh, it's been going great, the sales. Yeah, don't worry. They're the same as they were, minus, but we've had a breakthrough.
No. But because I was away, Rose just let him lie on the bed and fall back to sleep, and it took half an hour.
So he just sort of left him and he went back to sleep?
He went back to sleep and then he slept till 8.
I love experimental parenting. Sometimes you've got to adapt or die.
Exactly, Rob.
She just freestyled that and it worked. I bet she was so happy.
So he's got cushions to pen him in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's on the bed from 5 till kind of 8, right?
Yeah.
From 5.30 till 8.
Well, so she gets him out of the cot?
Well, she gets him out of the cot to feed him, because that's why he wakes up at 5.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then she puts him down.
Back in the cot?
No, on the bed.
On the bed with cushions around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes to sleep there. So then I get back the next night.
So she can even just be getting up, getting dressed and having a shower and stuff, and he's asleep till 8. That is, oh my God.
Well, she just slept.
All right, yeah, you would, yeah. Fair enough. No, it's a magical time, isn't it, Josh?
Well, it's
a magical time, pop down.
It's her loss if she wants to miss out on that beautiful time when the sun's coming up.
Okay. Oh, that is a breakthrough. And then what time does your daughter get up?
She's been getting up about 7:30.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Not all good.
Okay, what? Go on.
So I get back the next night.
Okay.
He's got my side of the bed from 5 a.m, Rob. I'm turfed out.
Okay, so where'd you go?
So I went and slept on the floor on a futon. In his nursery.
So it's not all roses.
It's not all roses, no.
I wouldn't say the breakthrough's a full family affair.
No. No. But Rose's like, oh, you can sleep on this bed. There's not room for me. And I'm too panicked about like rolling over. I've just not got the mentality for it.
Yeah, you haven't got the mentality. You're not a big game player like that. You can't.
I can't man mark a baby.
You're not a big game. But you did the Roy Keane there. Roy Keane would have slept silently in one place all night.
Exactly. But I was like, I can't do this. So basically, yeah. The breakthrough now is at 5 a.m., I go into a different room.
Okay. It's the little things that help, isn't it?
Exactly. But I feel like we're going in the right direction.
What, separate rooms?
It was inevitable at one day. It's quicker than I thought, but it was inevitable.
You know what? I love Lou, and I love sharing a bed with Lou, but I think if it was socially acceptable and people didn't think your marriage was falling apart, your own bed does sound nice if you've got the space, doesn't it?
Mate, I'm not going to lie. It was glorious. Had a podcast on to lull me to sleep, straight back to sleep.
Which one, or is it too harsh to say?
No, that was Guardian Football Weekly, the Guardian Football podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Straight out, wake up, they're talking about the Caribou Cup, straight back out again. Absolutely lovely stuff.
Isn't it Carabao? Is it Caribou?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, no, it's Carabao, isn't it?
Carabao's
a band, yeah.
Caribou. Oh, that's good then. That's good news.
Yeah, so that's positive parenting. Move forward.
But you've got a busy day today, so it's Friday, so you've seen a bit of the baby this morning.
Yes.
Got your daughter off to preschool.
Yes, saw the baby this morning, got my daughter off to nursery, and then went on the exercise bike.
Oh, Josh!
For 20 mins.
Okay, panic attack or just flew through?
No, fine.
Lovely, well done.
Protein shake.
Protein shake, my man. Go on, Josh.
Protein shake, yeah.
Oh, man's getting hench in that, yeah? Man's getting hench in a protein.
Look, mate, deal with it.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to see your last leg just absolutely fucking loaded up in the shoulders and legs.
Yeah, I'm wearing a vest tonight on the show. Do you think that's a mistake?
No, I think it's great. I think you should. You're sleeping on the spare bedroom floor, you're wearing a vest, and you're having protein shakes. Sounds great.
God, I'm having a midlife crisis. Fucking hell. I've just realised I'm having a midlife crisis. And then shower, pack, to go to Aberystwyth via the last leg.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So Aberystwyth, I'd say that's one of the worst journeys in a comedian's career of driving.
Yeah.
Because you basically drive to Liverpool from London for you, which takes, what, a few hours?
Oh, well, no. Do you know what? We're going to drive, because it's 11 p.m. I'm going to drive to Birmingham, stay over, and then get the train across.
Okay, that is still horrible, isn't it, though? So you're leaving at 11 p.m. from London, driving to Birmingham, crashing in a hotel, and then You're getting... Oh, but
then oh no, you're like this, Rob. Get up. Yeah. Do an interview on Radio 4 about the fucking book.
What time's that?
9:30 till 11. Hour and a half.
Fuck off. What are you doing, reading it all out?
I genuinely, mate, that took me by surprise as well.
An hour and a half.
Oh. Then on the train to Aberystwyth. Yeah. And I don't want... You know, Rob. You know I'm a stiff neck.
Yeah.
So I don't mind admitting this, Rob.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much my heart sank when I booked the train ticket?
Yeah.
There's no first class, Rob.
That Aberystwyth to Birmingham train.
Yeah, it's a two-carriage classic, isn't it?
It's a two-carriage classic.
Like fucking Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's one of those trains where nobody's actually going from Birmingham to Aberystwyth.
No,
it's
exactly.
People get on for one or two stops,
yeah.
But you're on there for the long haul.
Yeah.
And it goes into a station and comes out backwards at one point.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing. And there's like a buffet cart that will go down once in the three hours. More hours than carriages.
And it's like a commuter train that you're normally on for 15 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not
yeah, exactly. It's like the bus I'd get with my daughter to nursery if I decided to get that to Bristol.
And on my little trick for Aberystwyth, train to crew takes about an hour, or it doesn't take very long, and then from crew you drive over. That's my little trick for North Wales, if you ever go in there at midnight.
Yeah, but... I just, in a way, I'm quite excited about the train on my own because that is 3 hours to myself. Add that to the 11 minutes.
Yep. And what time's your train?
It's a half 12.
Half 12, that's not too bad. Yeah, because it's 3 hours to get there at three. Yeah, so you're getting a bit of a line though. You can wake up at 9:25.
Yeah.
On Radio 4. Also, to stop me having to do radio interviews, I've put on a book event, Josh.
Oh, yeah, where?
Can I just say this? In Bromley Churchill, near my house, 17th of October on a Sunday, where I get interviewed about the book for an hour, and then I'm going to go in the foyer and sign all the books and say hello to everyone.
Go.
So if you want to come,
yeah,
Parent in Hell people, I'll be there. It's only 15 quid, so it's cheaper than it, because it's not a tour show. Chat about the book, and then you can bring your book.
Who's interviewing you?
Emily Dean from...
oh, nice.
She's got a great podcast as well, Walking the Dog, yeah, with Emily Dean. And she's interviewing me from 8 till 9, then 9 I'm going to be in the foyer. Bring your books you've already bought, or you can buy books there, and I'll sign them and say hello. And there's probably a Q&A little bit in the event, and if you want to ask questions about the podcast and not the book, I don't mind. So, just that's not on the official publication, but if you've got a couple of questions about that,
they can ask the questions. As long as they buy the book, they can ask what the fuck they want.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, come down please, because I don't even know if how many tickets that sold, because it's a bit new for me, a book event, isn't it? I'm not really the book guy, so yeah, come down. That would be helpful if we sell some tickets for that.
Yeah, do come, do go. I'll be honest with you, Rob, here's a little tip.
Yeah.
I've been selling them at tour shows.
Oh, can you do that?
Yeah. Just a local bookshop will go in the foyer and do it for you. Just sign them all.
Oh, okay. Well, I might do that. That's not been organised, I don't think. It might have. I don't know. My book's not out yet. We'll find out, won't we?
You'll find out. And we've got an event ourselves, haven't we? But we need to... We'll keep that under our hats.
Oh, yes, that. I think that might be happening. Let's keep that quiet until it's confirmed. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Can I tell you my one last bit of parenting, and then
yes,
I've got nothing left to offer?
All right, okay, because I've got a few bits I want to get off my chest.
Good, good, because I'm sorry, I'm empty this week.
Well, it sounds like, Josh, you're not the only one having the death chat with their kids. This has been Instagrammed in, which is... I'm really proud of myself of remembering this and weaving it into the show like this.
Oh, mate, it's slick as fuck, this podcast.
Oh, it's slicker than a buttered otter.
Exactly.
Now, here we go.
Is that a phrase?
That's one Phil Kerr invented. When I do Celebs Go Dating, Phil Kerr, funny writer, he puts loads of jokes in. And then when I do it, I put loads of jokes in. And slicker than a buttered otter was his.
You just said it off the bat and I was like, fucking hell, Beckett's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I pretend it's just slick and, you know, it's a fucking big operation in my nut, mate. There's loads going on.
Is it true during the podcast you've got 10 writers behind you pitching
yeah,
ideas?
Yeah, they're all behind me just peppering me stuff. I'm just really good at sitting under post-it note. No, it's just it is a good turn of phrase, though. But I've got to give big Philly Kerr the credit there. Very funny, man.
He was working on Last Leg yesterday.
Yeah, he's a brilliant writer. Yeah, so he gets the Celebs Go Dating, because the Celebs Go Dating script comes in and it's all quite like, they go here, they go there. He puts it all sort of in my work. He's a working class geezer from Essex.
Yeah.
He's very funny. But he puts it all in my words and turn of phrases, and then I add the jokes as I do it. So it's a good little system we got there, old Philly Kerr.
Do you want me to tell you a quick story about Phil Kerr?
Yeah.
It's not about him, it's about me. I come out of this badly.
Okay.
You might know that I failed to get on Tipping Point twice.
Oh, no.
Once because I had my appendix out the day before.
Yeah.
And then once because...
he wasn't famous enough?
Unbelievable.
Sorry, that I actually felt the knife going in then.
I was thinking, how long can I leave this silence
till Beck in panics? Oh, no. It felt like Badil and Newman towards the end, that, didn't it? Could you feel that? Oh, no. Sorry, Josh.
So, first one, I'm going on Tipping Point.
Yeah.
And my appendix out, and I really want to go on Tipping Point.
Ben Shepherd, absolute legend, by the way. Really nice guy.
Lovely, lovely guy. Second one.
From Essex, did you know that?
Mate. Not everyone's from Essex, surely. He is, actually, because he's West
yeah,
Ham fan.
He's from Essex, but I think he got on telly before you was allowed to have an accent on telly. So he got that sort of posh bit posh accent, didn't he?
He's very nice. He's very lovely nice. Bloke. Lovely bloke.
Powerful man. Ripped, shredded, Andy Peters level of buff.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
He's got. If he did the jungle, that shower scene, oh, my God. Can you imagine it?
What? How is that now an image in my head?
What, the shepherd...
The shepherd lathering up under a waterfall.
Yeah, as Jeff Brazier and Chico giggle next to him.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I can't do it a second time because I have to lock down for 7 days before a different TV record. So it gets cancelled for a second time. Yeah. Then I get offered it for a third time.
Okay.
And the only time they can do
is
a morning of a last leg meeting. Oh, yeah. So I just tell production that I've got a doctor's appointment.
So you're lying to Last Leg?
I lied to Last Leg. Right?
So you could do Tipping Point?
So I could do Tipping Point for the third time. Right?
Okay.
Go down, do Tipping Point.
That's in Bristol, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Bristol. Go down, do Tipping Point. It's only an hour-long meeting on the Thursday that I miss, right?
Oh, so that you could do a whole record, then come back.
Yeah, okay. Do Tipping Point. I can't give you the answer, but let's be honest. Louise Minchin can barely look me in the eye after the way I destroyed her. Right, anyway. Can't tell you the result. It's not been on.
Yeah.
But anyway, Phil Kerr's there because he's writing on it.
What, Tipping Point?
Yeah.
Ben Shepherd, good. The Kerr man. Cool, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's very good, Phil. I love Phil.
Yeah, he's very good. Get back. It's the perfect crime.
You've come back. You've done Tipping Point. You've missed the meeting. Yes.
Next day, Friday, going to Last Leg. Everyone arrives. Who the fuck sitting across the table is fucking Phil Kerr?
Oh, no. The alibi. What does he say? What does he do?
I texted Brooker because he was writing with Brooker that day. I texted him and I said, full disclosure, I skived off to do Tipping Point yesterday. Could you tell Phil Kerr not to tell anyone?
Oh, so Brooker knew.
And he kept my secret until now.
Did he?
He did.
Kerr, you legend. Should I ring him and say, has Josh ever done Tipping Point? All right, so this is a story about death from the schools,
sorry,
right?
Sorry.
No, that's great. Great little veer off in another direction. Stuff Your Kid Says. Just listening to the podcast and I love it. You're getting me through work at the moment. When we were away the other week, my husband and I were watching Cruella with our three-year-old, snuggled up in bed, having a lovely family moment. There's a bit of mild Disney peril and dead parent, as per. Yeah, that really made me laugh. Oh, yeah, you can't shuffle through it without a bit of dead parent, can you? At this point, our daughter says... I don't mind if one of you dies because I'll still have a spare one.
Oh, wow.
Good to hear she'll be fine. Thanks, Jamie.
Oh, wow.
Brutal.
That is amazing. Because when I was a kid, I was petrified of my parents dying.
Yes, I think that is a thing. I was as well, and a bit more so because my old dad was an older dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, because my dad's 76 and I'm only 35, so he was like 40-odd when he had me. And it was a little bit in the back of my mind, and he's still knocking about. He's like, fucking
old exactly,
bit.
Nothing to worry about. Nothing to bloody worry about.
It's just a classic anxiety. Worrying about stuff that's not happened.
Exactly. Right, how's your week been?
Well, the week, very excitingly, I've booked tickets in half turn to take the kids to see Mamma Mia.
What, the ABBA play?
Yeah, the musical theatre show.
Oh, wow.
They love Mamma Mia.
Do they?
And obsessed with Mamma Mia.
And what's the age range of Mamma Mia? I've never seen Mamma Mia, so I... Isn't it about a wedding in Greece?
Yeah, it is, and I'm taking a three-year-old. Well, I can't hear you. Where you gone?
Sorry, I was just laughing away from the camera.
The camera!
The camera, fucking hell. God, I'm tired.
The old camera. The old camera. Microphone camera. Yeah, I don't know what the... but I'm a bit worried because they sing out loud.
I think they'll enjoy it. If I was at Mamma Mia...
Yeah.
And a three-year-old sat next to me. I'd be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
No, but so she's actually quite good that because we told them you have to be quiet and they do shush. Oh, yeah, shh, yeah, yeah, you mustn't talk. But they're a little bit to the point where they're like a little bit too into that, where they will just tell other people to shush. Oh, but yes, then their shushing is actually louder than anyone having a slight conversation.
Is Mamma Mia a bit of a party vibe? I've not been. Have you been already?
It's very... I went once years ago. It's a bit like mum's girls' night out. So girls... Yeah, yeah. My mum would be like, get the girls together, the girls. And there's five of them, combined age of 290. 96. No, definitely women. Mum, you're 67. No... You've got to be a woman at some point, Mum. Or the girls. But he says, we recommend Mamma Mia for 5+ as an advisory to adults who might bring young people. Children under 3 will not be admitted. So she'll be, when we go, she'll just nearly be 4. And I think that'll be fine.
Fine, she's been before.
She went and saw Lion King. She was all good. So, and it's a matinee and in half term. If you've got a problem and you're an adult on your own, go fuck yourself and go. Also, what kind of lunatics go in half term?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I'm getting angry already.
You're getting angry at a hypothetical weird bloke on his own at Mamma Mia.
What are you doing here, you nonce? Fuck off till next week. Oh, Billy No Mates turns up half term on his own. Yeah, likely story, you fucking pedo. Get out, you mug. Mamma Mia. Well, here we go again.
And who's in it? Are people in it? Or is it just like...
Yeah, I think that it'd be a bit weird if they just... If it was just, the, you know, the Greek setting and just a CD played. I think there's humans doing it.
But there's no stars that...
No, it's not like Chicago's. Chicago's one of those ones where it's like always like Denise Van Outen or someone.
Kate Lawler or someone, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Such a good shout. Melanie Sykes. But so we're doing, I'm very excited about that. The kids are absolutely
That'll
ecstatic.
Be fun.
So that's fun.
Are you thinking about going to Frozen? It's 6+.
Oh.
I don't know what to do about it.
I think maybe we might wait for, if it's 6+, I might wait for a bit then.
Yeah. It'll be there forever, won't it?
But I think they're all right. It's just as long as you tell them to be quiet. As long as they're well behaved, you know, like, and just say you've got to be quiet. Because if they sit there quietly, and if you buy an aisle, you can nip out. But it's very expensive for them to not enjoy it. That's the thing. So
yeah.
I would wait until they... Because we took eldest to go and see Mary Poppins when she was about 4, and she loved it. And then when you've got the older one, the younger one sort of follows their lead slightly, I found anyway. Yeah. But I'd wait until they're a bit older.
4 months is a bit young, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if there's a little wake up.
He's not going to get much out of it. Me and Rose went to Matilda before we had kids.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was good. But it was quite weird because it was all parents except us.
Yeah, that's fine. You on your own, no.
Yeah, no, of course.
No, I think you're allowed... Look, I'm not saying you can't go and watch a theatre show on your own. I've seen loads of shows on my own. I went to New York on my own for some work stuff, and I went and saw loads of things on my own.
Did you?
Yeah, I went to a comedy cell on my own, some theatre shows. Lou goes to Hamilton on her own. There's nothing wrong with going on your own.
Oh, no.
However, if you do go on your own and you tell children to shut up in half term matinee, you've got serious problems. Just go Tuesday evening next week. Come on, mate.
Yeah.
But I think I actually enjoy going to the theatre on my own. I find sometimes having to go with someone, the chat's quite annoying.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what I quite like? Have you ever been to the football on your own? That's actually quite pleasant as well, Rob.
Is it? I don't know, because then other people might want to talk to me. Where, like, at the theatre, no one talks, do they?
No.
I hate a new friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, holiday friends. And you're on the plane
I'm
with you and they...
I'm not interested in that,
Come on, mate. I've got my own mates I don't like. I don't need new ones.
Do you know, going to see a band on your own is not bad either. It's not bad either.
Well, I think there's certain things that are right. You can get chatting to people about the music and whatever it is you're doing.
Do you know what? I don't mind just texting on my own in the breaks, Rob.
No, it's quite
nice. Bit of time, just me and my fucking phone. Yes, please.
Headphones in, but a podcast halfway through.
Pop on Ellis and John, 20 winks.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The other thing that's doing my nut in as well, Josh, is emails from the school.
Emails
we get, I'd say I get about five a day, and they all say important at the top. There's no way they're all important.
No.
No offence to the, you know, the Christmas or the harvest festival thing where we've got to bring a tin or something. I don't think that's important 3 weeks out.
No.
That I've got, you know what I mean? I think that, I don't think that the level of importance of, oh, there's a Christmas party happening, you might want to bring something in 2 months. You're like, mate, let me get through Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. Are you going trick-or-treating?
No, we're not actually, but I think Lou's friends having a party that the kids are going to in the day.
Oh, nice.
Because we might be doing something in the day, mightn't we? Eh?
Yeah.
A little thing.
Oh, yeah. Having sex for the first time.
First? Come on, Josh. But I don't know if it's just my kids' school or if it's a thing. Is anyone else getting too many emails? I'd like to know if I'm just being moany or, you know, and I find there's so many, I can't read them all.
Do you know the email I can never believe is when you get one? I don't know if you get these at school, maybe it's a bit late. Nursery, you'll get an email about someone's lost item.
Yeah.
And you're like, fucking write that off, mate. Who's complaining about a lost sock? Have a word with yourself.
Yeah. You just have to file it under idiot tax. That sock's gone.
I'd say the rule should be, if you're taking it to nursery, it's fair game.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything.
Got,
I mean,
in your mind, you've got to write off everything that goes to nursery.
I'm happy to get my own child back.
If they're naked or in someone else's clothes, that is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Then as long as it's mine and not bleeding, thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
But sorry, guys, someone's lost their Blue Peter badge. Come on, have a word with yourself.
Josh, I'm a busy guy. I can't deal with that email. So the emails, I don't know if anyone else is getting that, but it's doing my head in and I can't keep up.
Do you reply? Are they reply ones? Or are they just like...
No, not all of them. Parents evening as well. He's fucking on Zoom again.
Why?
But apparently cases are rising in the school, so they don't want to be... off, mate. You just want it early night.
Parents evening on Zoom. What time's parents evening?
You only get 10 minutes. That's not long enough, I don't think.
Do you? I've never been to a parents' evening.
Well, yeah, don't we do it at nursery? They start doing it in primary schools. It's not as it's more involved, obviously, in secondary, but primary. But I think, in their defence, you don't really need long because, ultimately, if there's something not right, they'll let you know. But it's sort of like, oh, yeah, she's doing this, she's doing that, blah, blah, blah. But 10 minutes, and then it has the timer on the corner. It's so stressful. And then you don't have any time for questions. I think 15 minutes should be min.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 10 minutes is nothing. Because they just talk at you. They might as well do a video recording.
Just do a voice note. Send it over.
I know. I do have some other big news, Josh. I need to tell you. It's good. It's good news. There's going to be a new arrival in the Beckett family.
No way.
Yes, why? We're getting a dog.
Oh, my fucking God. Oh, my God.
Do you think it was a baby?
She's broken. No. Do you know what, Rob? For a moment, my heart skipped a beat.
And you just thought, oh, great content.
And then I thought... He's not. I thought, if it's any smaller than a dog, this is rubbish.
Yeah, it's got to be dog minimum.
If this is hamster,
kid.
I'm getting this bit edited out. It's not good enough.
It's got to be minimum dog.
We're getting a dog, Josh.
I can't believe she's broken you. What did it take? 4 months?
Look, I was quite keen for a dog.
Do you know what, Rob? The person that's reluctant to the dog...
Yeah.
It's always the one that ends up loving the dog the most. You're going to be a dog bore.
I know. I think I am going to be a dog. Do you want to see the dog?
Have you got it already? A picture of the dog.
So this is right. Listen to my thinking, yeah? We always wanted a dog. And we thought it's really nice to have a dog in the family for the kids, right? And it's like a good thing for them to have and something to look after and things like that. And we was always like, oh, no, but when they're a bit older, or when I'm not so busy, or when we've moved or whatever. And I thought there's always going to be a reason why you put it off. And then by chance, well, literally by chance, one of my mates, he's got loads of dogs and he's got about three or four dogs and he had a whippet and then they think they rescued another whippet and they thought the whippet was like they had been castrated or whatever it's called, both of them, but they both weren't and they ended up calling the rescue whippet the boy one Chance because it got Winnie, the girl, pregnant by chance. So it was a bit of an accident.
Oh, lovely.
So they're not like puppy breeders or anything like that. So it was a bit of an accident. And they've got these eight puppies and they're so cute.
Oh, here we go. He sent it over.
So they live around the corner.
You've just sent me 15 photos of it, Rob.
Yeah, I know, but I just forwarded it on from Lou.
Oh, my God. Look at that tiny little bastard. Oh, my God.
It's cute, isn't it?
He is too much, isn't he?
So he's like, and Lou loves it so much.
And how big is he going to get?
Whippets get up to about your knee, but they're quite big, but really skinny. I'll send you a photo of the mum so you know what they look like when they're finished. The mum and dad around the corner, and like the dog. So you get to see both parents, which is quite important with a dog, to see the parents of the dog. And then it's my mate, and he was like, well, whenever you can drop him round when you like go on holiday and things like that, because it'd be quite nice for the mum to have the dog together, and they love dogs, and they can help us and give us advice and teach us how to do it. And actually, Whippets are really good, like really easy sort of first dogs, because they're quite, they don't need much walking. It's like one walk in the morning.
Oh, lovely.
And that's the mum. They're a pretty little dog.
That's going to be nice. And I tell you what, I've already Googled flat cap Whippet. So I tell you what's coming your way at Christmas.
Jimmy Chipolata.
Jimmy Chipolata, mate.
Do they do ones for Whippets?
Well, I'm going to have to direct message Jimmy Chipolata and say, we've done you a lot of favours. Could you do a one-off range for Whippets, please?
Well, have you seen, they do like football hooligan clothes for Whippets. Have you seen this?
Have they? What, like Stone Island?
Yeah, I'll show you. Look at this one. Look at this Whippet
in
a yellow anorak.
Do you know what, Robbie? Doesn't look a million miles from Spike Island, one of the coolest references I've ever made.
I know. But so we're all very excited. We get the dog in November, and we might be moving house next year, so I thought it'd be good to get the dog in a house that we don't mind that it roughs up a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Just knock underground off the value of the house.
Oh, actually, we're not getting it. It won't be in the house. The house will be absolutely fine if we do sell the house. Don't you worry about the old dog in the house. But yeah, we're really excited, but I think it's a good decision, and we can't wait, to be honest. And at least, you know, Lou's not going back to work, so we'll be at home with the dog and stuff. But yeah, we're getting
that
a little dog.
Amazing.
Little family dog.
How do you feel?
I'm excited about it. But I said to Lou, I was like,
When does he move in?
Middle of November, I think. I think it's actually firework night, which is quite a stressful move day for a dog.
Oh my word, the worst day for the dog.
Poor fucker.
We bought this dog. He's a fucking mess, this dog.
Just like, welcome to your new home. Woo! Fucking Catherine will up his ass. so that's the news in our family. We're getting a dog. So I've got a dog. I'm getting a dog. I've got a dog. I'm still a bit surprised.
Oh my word! I'd say saying the sentence six times in a row is a strange sign.
And I keep going, yeah, but it doesn't need much walking, because actually you just walk them for 45 minutes in the morning, and they're fast. They're very fast, 35 miles an hour, but they don't have much stamina, so they will be tired and stuff. So I think they're a good dog for a family. I've heard. If anyone's got any Whippet advice, please let me know. I think this might actually crash Michael's emails, because the one thing I've realised about people with dogs, people love talking about their dogs.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're getting a dog, Josh. But I'm sure that might bring its own problems for me to discuss on it. Because I'm being a parent. It is parenting still, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd be slightly annoyed if for the next year we just talk about your dog rather than your children. But
but is this almost like the show is developing now? It's becoming like Blue
exactly.
Peter. We talk about kids. We've got a resident dog.
I'm getting an elephant.
But yeah, so we're very excited about the old Whippet.
That's good, Rob. I'm excited, and it's good content.
Do you want the name of the dog?
Are you going to give the real name, or are you worried about its identity?
Its identity going forward.
You worried it'll hate you when it grows up?
Well, I need to think about that, because I might just give out the girls' names, but I don't know if I should. Anyway, I mean, Lou needs to talk about that as they get older. The dog is called, the full name is Freddy.
Yeah.
Glitter Sparkle, Glitter Rock, Twinkle Star Beckett.
Oh, wow. So your daughters didn't get a say in it?
Yeah, they chose Freddy.
They're a huge fan.
Of Lundberg.
Yeah, exactly. They just love the Invincibles.
But yeah, Fred, I think Fred's quite good when you're sort of telling it to do not do something. One syllable thing.
I like a dog with a person's name.
Yeah, Freddy's little Freddy the dog. We'll stick those pictures up on Instagram so you can have a little look and stuff. But we're very excited in the Beckett house.
That is good. Do you want one email?
Yes.
And then we do small business shout out.
Yes, great idea. I've got one quick Instagram. So one email, one Instagram. SBS, small business, SBS.
SBS. Hi, Rob, Josh, Freddie. I'm a little late to this podcast and have only just listened to the Grey Trunk episode with Rob's daughter. I cried with laughter at this. It reminded me of when my daughter was 2 years old. Whenever we sat down to watch a movie, I would give her a little handful of popcorn as a treat. One day, as we were settling down on the sofa to decide on a movie to watch, I turned to her to ask what she would like to watch. When my little blonde-haired angel, who could barely enunciate most words, replied, "Cock porn, mummy." I looked at her with utter shock and dismay, and she repeated, "Cock porn, please, mummy." To say I was relieved when I realised she was actually asking me for popcorn could legitimately be the biggest understatement ever known.
Oh, well, we found out when I showed her some cock porn and she was like, "Not this, mummy."
She was very displeased. "Why are you showing me this? This is disgusting."
Cock porn feels like, you know, like sort of like a teenager discovering the sexuality and not really sure how to search for gay porn. It's like, oh, I think I'm into this, but I'm not. I'm trying to explore how I feel. Cock porn.
What's your Instagram, Robert?
Well, this one, you'll be a fan of this. We asked for people to spot spelling mistakes in your book.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Spotted the first spelling error, page 18 of Josh's book. Yeah, but they didn't say what it was, though. I think you want the spelling.
I've actually got one.
Have
here,
a look
actually.
At page 18.
Page 18. Is it where it says in?
Oh, do you know it already?
Someone sent me one where it says in.
Page 18 of Josh's book. "Do I get free tickets to his tour now? I'll settle for a shout-out or producer Michael reading my name in a nice way. Thanks, Rachel."
Oh, let's have producer Michael reading her name in the nice way.
Say thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. We really appreciate your input.
Input. Oh, input was charged.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Page, I don't know what it is. Can you find it, Josh, or you'll have to find it later?
I can't. I'm reading through the page and I can't find it. So maybe it's page 18, was it?
That's what she reckons, yeah.
I can't see it off the top of my head. No.
No worries. Right. Should we do small business shout out?
Yeah. It's never going to beat Jimmy Cipollata. That was genuinely...
Well, I might need to tap him up for a coat, because with Whippets, they get cold. They actually need a coat. You're not being a wanker.
No, exactly.
And they don't smell. They don't smell that much because they've got short fur. God, I'm just convince yourself, Rob. Just convince yourself.
Great PR for Jimmy Cipollata to do you a special one-off coat, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they owe us some money. The amount of people that shout Jimmy Cipollata at me. Here we go. This looks bad at this one. "Hi, Rob and Josh. We're a small family-run alpaca walk-in business."
Yes.
"Based in Chester, called Rack and Ruin Alpacas. We opened in the November before the first lockdown, and as you can imagine, our first year has been extremely difficult. We currently have 16 alpacas, and with three of the girls pregnant, all being well, we will soon have 19.
Oh.
I might have an alpaca if you've got one going spare.
Why not, Rob?
Could add it to the rest of the animals in my house.
You'll be like Noah's Ark. You'll be like Dr. Doolittle.
Lou does want an alpaca, but we've got nowhere to put it, unfortunately. We've got the garden that we haven't got big enough. Yeah. "We offer alpaca walking experiences in the Cheshire countryside where you lead, spend time with, and feed your own alpaca."
Oh, that would be lovely. That would be genuinely pleasant.
"Love the show, and it's really kept us going and given us much needed laughter and enjoyment over the past 18 months. Rob, we have just booked tickets to your tour at the Story House in Chester next year. If you'd like to come and visit us and walk an alpaca while you're here, we'd love to."
Oh, yes, please.
I'll tell you what, guys, at the Rack and Ruin Alpacas, if I've got time, I would love to come and walk an alpaca with you. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
"Hi, Rob and Josh. Small business shout out for my daughter, Charlotte Axford, who got made redundant in lockdown, started making Disney-inspired candles and wax melts. So proud of her achievements. We both love your podcast. She is on Instagram as Happily Ever Candle. Happily Ever Candle. Thanks, proud dad guy." There we go. Very
lovely.
Nice.
Guy. Brilliant. Well, good luck with those businesses, people. Keep going. It's always nice starting your own thing. It's good. It's quite scary doing your own thing, and I bet you found the same, Josh, when you did comedy. But
it's exposing. It's brutally exposing.
And what I found the hardest part was to just try and do something different to all your friends a little bit, because what's worse than never making it is trying to and then fucking it up, isn't it? That's the worst thing, mate. But you can't let that hold you back. And good luck and well done to all these businesses.
And we've both had our share of absolutely humiliating failures.
Yeah, I lost to you at the Leicester Mercury New Comedian of the Year. That was quite brutalising for me.
We've all had our setbacks, haven't we?
Keep going.
And the good news is, one day, you know, you'll go to the North Pole, melt down and rejuvenate as a new human being.
But until then, we'll be back.
We'll be back on Friday with Jessie Ware. Absolutely brilliant episode.
Long episode. She was great, wasn't it? Yeah, Jessie Ware on Friday.
I do a dramatic reading of Harry McClary as well, so do join in.
It's great. Cool. And we'll have another guest on Friday from the world of celeb showbiz life.
Exactly. Don't worry. You'll like them. We did. Unless it's the one we didn't like. But we will put that out at one point, but we'll pretend we like them. See you then.
Bye.